So I'm going to speak to you about the next step, which is trying to bring this into interoperability with the electronic health record. This is a project we've been working on in IHE for the quality research and public health domain, and the maternal child health profile, I'll describe it's a little bit about its history. We're primarily focusing on the birth and fetal death report within there. Now, the reason it doesn't advance.
Try this button.
That looks like a reverse button.
This one.
This one I did.
Oh, okay. And how about this one?
Yeah.
Yep.
One of these is doing. Okay.
Okay,
so it's that one.
It's me.
That's you.
All right. Sorry.
That's okay.
It's right here.
Okay. All right, so the maternal child health profile was actually a work initiated in IHE Quality Public Health Research a few years ago, I believe 2 to 3 years back. We worked on that one and looked at it when we were working in HITSB on the maternal child health activities, and there was a lot of commonality with what we were trying to do for vital records there. The maternal child health content in its original form was intended to describe the automated capture of vital records from birth for birth certificate and for the French childhood health certificate reports that they monitor. The pre-population of the birth and fetal death reporting forms with the data from the EHR, and in particular from the labor and delivery summary, was part of the focal point and what caught the attention of the U.S. activities. And what we're looking to do with that is to be able to connect with the labor and the EHR's labor and delivery record using some other profiles within IHE, retrieving form from data capture, which allows an EHR to surface a form, just like the forms that Hetty was showing you within the EHR. It allows it to pre-populate that information with information that's already known to the EHR and to send that to a destination. So using that as the basis, we've actually broken it this year into three parts. So originally, the maternal and child health content included three what we call content profiles. The child growth summary we do not maintain in this country, but this is an international venue. It was created to support the activities in France. The health at birth summary was equivalent to our activities for collecting the newborn and presenting the birth certificate. And that is actually a CDA document that they've specified to be able to communicate the birth certificate information in its entirety as a CDA document. For the U.S. national extension, we are looking specifically to capture this through forms in order to require certain attributes to be data entered and to have human review because it becomes part of our legal record. So the value proposition behind creating this profile is to allow the communication of the vital records through the electronic sources for the birth certificate, fetal death certificate, and for the French for the health certificate, birth 9 months and 2 years. We obviously are looking to minimize duplicate data entry and overhead of efficiency and accuracy of that data that might have otherwise been transcribed from the electronic health record or what might have previously been paper records into the registration forms. So our U.S. extension, as I indicated, uses this ability to surface a form from within the electronic health records. It also describes very much logic for specific mapping of clinical content that's in the electronic labor and delivery summary as the sources for that form. If you saw that form, I want to try to pick one of the examples that Hetty was showing. It asks about the number of prenatal visits or some attributes. Some of the attributes that would be part of the clinical record that are not checkboxes in the clinical record, I guess, is my point. we can derive from a problem list that the child has significant birth defects, and those significant birth defects in the electronic record are represented in as a problem, as a SNOMED code. But if we want to have a specific checkbox that says that they had craniofacial abnormalities, for instance, we need to look for specific codes within there. And so we have logic for defining the mapping from the clinical source to the checkbox on the form. There are quite a number of value sets that support this mapping, and each of those have been now loaded into FinVADS. The original specification had 189 value sets. Our revision has about 160. Details from the labor and delivery summary that should be included by the EHR to optimize the content that would be available to support the pre-population is part of what we've added this year. So what we found last year during trial implementation is that we took a labor and delivery summary, and while a lot of these attributes might be optional within the labor and delivery summary, if we really want a complete form filled in by pre-population, we need the EHR to supply more data than what is optionally required for clinical care. Within IHE, we talk about actors and transactions. So there's the concept of a form filler, which is the actor that is the role within the EHR. They fill out the form. There is the concept of the form manager off to the right. That is would be the system that is supplying the form from the public health system and applying the logic for pre-population. And then there's the form receiver, which is the system that would receive that form. In this case, the form receiver might be the actual vital record system. The form manager could be implemented by a vital record system, or it could be implemented by some middleware that's providing a service to collect data and forward it on. And then there's the form and the pre-population from the continuity of care document for a typical form, the labor and delivery document specifically in this case. So as a reference implementation, you have the labor and delivery record plus data entry creating the birth or fetal death record. The process flow would begin by the form filler being implemented by the hospital of birth. They would capture the data. They would in their clinical record. They would retrieve the form from public health, execute where the execution of the pre-population rules takes place based on the labor and delivery summary that was sent there, displays the form to the end user. The user fills in manually the data entry, and then they simply submit that form to public health. They may also, because it is a legal record, archive that form for their own purposes. Some supporting IHE profiles, they call them IT infrastructure profiles. I've referenced them, but I highlight them here. Sharing value sets. This is an interoperable mechanism that has been defined to, based on the underlying HL7 standards to allow some of the FinVADS terminologies, for instance, to be able to be communicated to the form manager to help support the drop-down boxes, help support the logic, et cetera, so that we can automate the rule, and if the value set changes, then the rule doesn't necessarily need to change. The retrieving form for data capture is that capability to surface the external form from within the EHR and allow for pre-population of data that is already available in the EHR combined with the data entry. And then once the data is received, there is the future opportunity to leverage that CDA document that is part of this suite of profiles to communicate the resulting information in a standard format. Sharing value sets. The value set consumers on the top would be either in the form, they might be in the EHR that helps to trigger a form. CDC at the bottom would be supplying the list of value sets that support vital records, but they're also supplying value sets for hearing screening and some of the disease and reportable conditions and quite a number of other value sets. Antepartum summary is referenced here as part of the continuity of care. So we're not actually pre-populating information from the antepartum summary, but you begin to see the interoperability flow of information. So Vital Records is interested in information that is actually captured in the antepartum state from ambulatory offices. That antepartum summary for the clinical care purposes would be transitioned between ambulatory systems and the hospital system when the mother goes in for delivery, and it helps to inform the clinical care. But that same information that informs the clinical care can be brought forward into the labor and delivery summary and then informs the pre-population for Vital Records. The labor and delivery summary itself was initially created for clinical care purposes so that there's a record of the delivery that's then made available as part of the baby's first record and as part of the mother's clinical record for postpartum care. So an example of the pre-population rules, on the left we have the standard attribute names for the U.S. Vital Records. We have abbreviated names such as APGAR-5, MECS, whether or not it's part of the birth or the fetal death reports, or both, the data element, its definition, and then the derivation rule. And that derivation rule is really constituted from the source of the labor and delivery summary information plus the value set. So if I look at the second one, for instance, we want to know whether or not there was characteristics of labor and delivery. That's the section of the form. Meconium staining, that's the checkbox. We can look into the labor and delivery section of the document, and we can look at the active problem codes that are in the labor and delivery summary and compare them to a value set that was defined for this project, meconium staining. And if the problem code then contains a value from within the value set, then you check off the box. The labor and delivery summary source, just a detailed list, but you can see all of this information is source information for the birth and fetal death report. We look at payer information, newborn delivery information, including their medications and problems, procedures, encoded results of the child's encounter, including the times that they arrived, the times if they were referred to or from a given facility, their outcomes. From the labor and delivery event, we look at procedures, whether or not it was a cesarean, whether or not there were administration of epidurals, active problem, coded results, multiple birth indications, pregnancy histories, coded results, and then coded history of infection section. So there's actually a specific section for labor and delivery, whether or not the mother had an infection that might be of interest to Vital Records. So there's chlamydia, for instance, is one of those. And then the section on prenatal events that covers some of the active problems during the antenatal coded results of any lab tests that may have been taken there, procedures and interventions and medications. So all this information is the clinical representation as source for the Vital Records registration that will then get transformed as part of the pre-population rules. So we have actually implemented a demonstration of this. There are real EHR systems and public health systems that have implemented the profile. We're actually showing a combination of the Vital Records and newborn hearing screening so that we have a birthing facility that is allowing the capture of this labor and delivery information, pre-populating the form, and submit to public health. And in public health, we're both receiving the Vital Records system, the Vital Registration for the birth certificate, and we're seeding the early hearing care plan from that information, where we're including the results from the hearing screening, and that would further go on to quality measures. the follow-up care, in this case, because it's a combined use case, speaks to the pediatric care provider, where the care plan in a bidirectional mode from public health is made available through the health information exchange. And also, of course, we have FinVADS as part of this, where we're serving up all the value sets that support both both domains. The vendors, just to recognize those that are supporting the use case, we have Epic, who's serving as our hospital of birth. We have the state public health information systems for the hearing screening IS and vital records being supported by Oz Systems, Utah Department of Public Health, Minnesota Department of Health, and the pediatric care provider is Care Evolution, and our infrastructure services, our form manager is Oz Systems, and Care Evolution as an HIE is also supporting this. So I would like to invite you to see that demonstration. We're actually going to have one following this, so you can actually follow us out to see the interoperability. And I would like to take any questions. We also have another one tomorrow. It is a trap, yes.
Another step could be, yes, contain the business processes, because you are identifying the different stakeholders. You're identifying the workflow. So you could easily identify the different business processes that are taking place and identify the means of where you think more efficiency can be achieved by, you know, maybe analyzing this and seeing where the different business workflows flow and activities take place and how they could become more efficient. So that can be an analysis of that domain analysis model. And where we see this as a starting point was to actually really get a feel for the activities and the workflow to see where is it that we need to capture the data, what makes the most sense to transmit the data from one point to the next. So, and it is something that we think we would be updating because, you know, this is the first iteration of that model. And as we work on different standards activities and we realize, oh, we've come up on something that needs to be included in that, we'll go back and update that point. But it can serve as business processes also.
And there was a high-level domain analysis model at HL7 that's being done by the U.S. Student Drug Administration. It's called Public Health Reporting Domain Analysis Model. Mm-hmm. So we have some discussions right now on the different initiatives for that we will have a presentation we want to talk on the proposed standards and interoperability framework initiatives on public health reporting, but that could be one of the activities that this new initiative should keep on, because it's just harmonizing business processes for public health reporting across the different domains. Mm-hmm. Like being a vital record for the drug administration, particularly for the administration, municipal diseases, crime, training, or
Vital records are actually profit centers for health departments and many places that generate more revenue than many other parts of the health department. So executives, you know, are providing very expensive applications that, and I only have deep experience in one, but that betray very little knowledge of processing for their adoption debt. And in fact, a lot of people have been making a lot of their investments over the last 10 years and having net benefits from the standardization. Where is the industry in this process? Where should the industry be in this process? And how do we get there?
I can answer part of it, and I on the second part, those are wonderful questions, and everybody in Barmer, so I can introduce myself. I'm Trish Tuskowski, I'm the executive director of NASPRI, and I actually, before that, worked in Pennsylvania and corporate health for 37 years. So I do have the stage perspective also. It's hard to let that go, but anyway, those are wonderful questions, I wish I had the answers to those. I think that those are questions that we all need to be asking. Now, in terms of the first part, as far as the profit center, that's, you know, you heard Delton say 57 jurisdictions, 57 ways of doing it. And in fact, in many states, the bond records office would never see a penny of
right.
the money that they get.
Right.
I know that in Pennsylvania, right. they brought in several million dollars more than they were then given to operate their shop.
Right.
So they still, the bottle records office still had the same cuts in salaries and you know, mandatory furloughs and reduced complements that everybody else in public health had, whereas the money went to the state general fund. So please don't make assumptions that because it's one way, it's that way, because when bottle records, we know that
the same is true in this country. They said they were a profit center. They didn't say they were a profit center.
Well,
right.
or even the public health department.
Right.
So in many cases, it doesn't even go back. And if it went back into public health, I don't think people would feel so bad. But it doesn't even go back into public health in many cases.
And Trish is absolute, because I was going to respond on that one as well, because in a number of states, how those profits, as you say, are defined by the legislature, and they can go any place. I'm amazed as I go across the country how the legislature has says these profits are to go. We are raising the fee, and the profits are to go over here, completely outside of public health, and so forth. So yeah, it's an issue.
On your question, where are the vendors and the standards in this business? I think vendors were here last night at the town hall meeting, and they were just expressing what they think about where public health input in standards. But I think we have to give credit to CDC for organizing this conference the way that, to my knowledge, this is for the first time at this public health informatics conference, the former FIN conferences, we see participation from the domains that are outside of communicable diseases. So, and that's something for many vendors that serve in the vital record space or maternal child health space, this is a very new venue. And through the interoperability showcase, we're trying to get them exposed more to the public health needs. And I think that we begin to see this happening. Teresa was trying just to say something on behalf of vendors. Do you? Okay, where are the vendors in this?
Yeah. And I think you're absolutely correct. In vitals, the vendors are really small vendors. I mean, they're not big time companies and so forth. And in some of the communications that we've had with them, we try to explain that we're always going to have the vital registration systems, but their ability to interoperate with other systems is going to be key. And so that some of these vendors are going to have to take a step back and look at their particular systems and how they aid the next versions of those in terms of it. And we've got to lay out some very clear guidelines, because I'm not sure that we've done that.
I would also like to add that some this functionality, when you say you're looking to be a tool, that kind of an interoperable tool and mechanism to get in and out of public health serves more than one program. So if you're looking, cancer has also used this retrieve form for data capture. We're doing it for case reporting. And so that one tool can service multiple program areas, an interface to be able to retrieve and receive CDA documents from Health Information Exchange as a single point of entry that may then spin off into multiple different programs. So there are efficiencies to be gained.
I just would like to point out that we're at the end of our session right now. You're welcome to continue these discussions with our presenters, but we're also, I think, organizing the specific guided tours right now for the vital record systems interoperability, and Laurie will be very happy just to guide you into the exhibit hall where you can see these applications. Thank you so much for coming.